And so I appreciate your patience as we move through our last letter. We've been talking about our pastor's DNA. You can see in the bulletin here where we've been. Just look through that. And then, of course, today we'll be finishing that up. I do want to remind you, too, that the first Sunday of November, what do we do with our clocks? Yeah, we set them back. Now, this, as a pastor, we don't care about this time change because all that means is you're going to be early to church. So don't be early, but we'll have some donuts just in case you are. So if you come early, we'll be here waiting for you saying, oh, you forgot to set your clock, did you? So be part of that. Also, Wednesday's our prayer time. And Steve Wong, is that right, Steve? Where's Steve? Is going to be leading us Wednesday night in our emphasis for prayer for the next month. So we want you to be part of that. Well, as we think about our pastor's DNA, we're going to be moving to the very last letter, the letter R, pastor. This letter represents today two kingdom principles that I want to present to you in the time that we have. And these principles have become bedrock in my life, not just my ministry, but in my personal life, too. That these kingdom principles, there's hardly a day that goes by that the Holy Spirit doesn't bring them, these two realities, center stage in my life. It's become a major filter. The first R that we want to look at is the priority of relationships. The priority of relationships. I believe that relationships are everything, and we're going to see it from a biblical perspective today. If you boil down the Christian life into one word, at the risk of being simplistic, I believe that word might be relationships, both vertically and horizontally. In fact, in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, Jesus was asked a question, what is the most important commandment? And he answered them. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 37 through 40, he began to talk to them about a vertical, horizontal relationship. Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. That's the great commandment. But the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then what did he say? On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Jesus was doing something that day pretty powerful, and we're going to see it run throughout Scripture. He was taking the vertical relationship we have with God, and he was tying it to our horizontal relationship that we have with each other. Jesus was welding together this idea of relationships, both with him and with each other. It's pretty huge, isn't it? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We want to look at where this ties in Scripture. In 1 John 4, 7 through 11, the Apostle John, he's a little advanced in years now, and he's writing a letter to the church of Asia, to the churches of Asia. And he's writing to them with it's kind of what we call a fatherly epistle. In fact, he begins by saying, beloved. Has anybody called you beloved lately? Beloved. Did you know you're the beloved of God? You ought to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and just confess that. I am the beloved of God. That's my filter for the day. God loves me. I am his beloved. And so John addresses the church. He says, beloved, let us love one another. Because you're loved by God, let's love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God doesn't just love, he is love. Amen? In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. How do we know he loves us? God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. And he sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And then he says this, beloved, there he goes, getting ready to say it, isn't he? Beloved, you're loved. You are the beloved of God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How important are relationships? He is welding them together in a place where they cannot be separated. You can't talk about one without the other. In fact, later on in that same chapter, in verses 20 through 21, listen to this. He kind of dials it up a notch. He says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Whoa, get back. My mama said you weren't supposed to say stuff like that to people. You know, does somebody, anybody ever called you a liar? That's pretty strong stuff. Hey, if you say you love God but you hate your brother, you're lying. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him. This is John. He was with Jesus. He was an apostle. He heard the teaching of Jesus. He said, this is the commandment. We got it right from him. That he who loves God must love his brother also. Wow. Man, they're really welding this thing together, aren't they? That's pretty strong talk. He says, you cannot separate these two things. The love of God isn't over here, and the love of my brother's over here. No, they are together. They are linked together in a way. I believe that there's an intersection between those two that really kicks our life up a notch. In fact, I think probably John was thinking about some of the teachings of Jesus, like Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He may have been there. He was hearing the teaching. Maybe he was remembering these words that Jesus said. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Wow. He was saying this is priority number one. He was saying it's more important than church. In fact, you ought to get up out of church and run on out of here is what he's saying. Now, I did notice he did say leave your gift before you leave. But leave your gift. And leave. He didn't say take your gift with you. Leave your. No, he said, listen, don't stay. This is so important. This has to be top priority. I want you to get up from your place and I want you to go and I want you to make things right with your brother. Well, Jesus then later on in that same teaching, boy, he raises the bar. Say, I can handle this. Loving my brother, I kind of got that. But listen to this. Jesus went on to say, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Now he's going to tell us how to do it. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You want to talk about holiness? You want to talk about sanctified living? He just told us what it was. He said, listen, sometimes we want to look so spiritual in the church, right? And I love it. And I love the ministries that go on, the giftings that God has given us. They're all great. But listen to me. If you fail here, God has put this together in a way that this has become priority number one for him, is not our relationship with God, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love one another. The two are grafted together. They're welded together. John went on in chapter 13 of the book of John, verses 34 through 35. Jesus has just told him, hey, I'm leaving. And where I go, you cannot come. But I say this to you. You ready to get this? Here it is. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. These are not my words. This is priority number one. They have been welded together in a way where they are inseparable. If we love God, then we're going to love one another. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church, and he draws the Holy Spirit into this concept. He says this is a reality also among the Trinity. Listen what he says. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's not a good thing, is it? Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. How do you do that? By not giving any offering? By not coming to church on Sunday? Here's what he said. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed. Sealed, I love that. I have been sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What is that text all about? Relationships. Everything in there is about relationships. It's important to God. He welded them together, and I believe that God is calling us to understand, and I think it goes without saying, doesn't it, that it's safe to assume that relationships are the core of Christian living. If your relationships aren't like right horizontally, I propose your relationship is not right vertically, because they are so tied together. And these are just a few of the scriptures. We can go on. It runs throughout the scriptures. This is significant to God. This reality has implications, does it not? How about your home life? How about your marriage? Would this be significant? Yes. How about at work? Those of you who are businessmen, you have employees. Employees, you work for others. How about at school? How about in our community? Hey, how about in politics? I wonder how this would fly there. I believe even in the church. Can you understand how important this is? If this church would be known for anything, it should be known for, look at how they love one another. They're not going to look at, well, how, you know, wow, well, you did this, you did this act of kindness. No. And I believe God's wanting to do some great things through us. I believe there's giftings that God wants to flow through us. I believe that. I believe God has some great ministry that He wants to bring into the body of Christ. But the world will know us by how we love one another, how we love God and how we love one another. Now, if this is true, then our next reality should become a top priority for every single believer. This is the last R. You ready? Here it is. It is the restoration of the ministry of reconciliation. If relationships are important, then reconciliation in relationships is huge. Is that right? You say, well, I don't really need that this morning. Well, let me ask you a question. In the last 12 to 18 months, how many of you have been in conflict with anybody in your life? Have you had any issues? How many of you have had a falling out with someone? Am I the only one? Maybe there's a level of conflict in your life that's caused a loss of community or a loss of fellowship with another person or someone you love. Is it true? You may be sitting there thinking about it right now. Maybe. Can you think of people right now who you've hurt? I remember one time asking God, God, show me the people I've hurt in my life. You know, I had to ask Him to stop. I started seeing faces of people who I have wounded and hurt. Even as a pastor, I have hurt people. I'd give anything to go back and fix some of that. But we can't do that, but we can move forward, amen? Maybe you're sitting here today and you've been wounded by someone. Maybe you've even been wounded in the church. Church, we often say church is a dangerous place. Why? Because there's people there. There's people there, right? Remember, the threshing floor is clean only where there are no oxen. If you're going to make wheat, you're going to have a mess to clean up, right? When people get together, it's going to be a little messy at times. That's why it's important. That's why Jesus said, listen, if you're going to love me, you're going to love one another. And if you love one another, the ministry of reconciliation is going to be huge to you. I believe God is wanting to restore to us the ministry of reconciliation. You have been reconciled so you can reconcile. You have been reconciled to reconcile. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 21, we find these words. For the love of Christ compels me. If you come to my house, which you're all invited at some point, I'd like for you to visit our home and break bread with us. But if you got two bathrooms to choose from. You can go to my wife's bathroom upstairs. It's real nice and girly. Or you can come downstairs to the bathroom where the guys go. It's the men's bathroom. Yes, the guys. And on the wall, I have plastered this scripture. Every morning I see it. But bigger than the scripture that we just saw, let's see, I'm going the wrong direction, I bet. Technology, there we go. This is verses 18 through 20. I want to enlarge upon it a little bit. Can I do that? How about verse 14? Listen to this. For the love of Christ compels me. It compels me. Some say it motivates me. Some translations say it controls me. The love of God compels me because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. That's my scripture every morning. There it is, staring right at me. It's to remind me, Joe, you don't live for yourself. You don't live for yourself. The love of God compels you. For to him who died for them rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. You know, so often we're judging each other by the flesh. We need to stop that. We need to start looking at things through the Spirit. Listen to what he says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We need to see what God sees in people. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, I've been reconciled to reconcile. You've been reconciled to reconcile. That God, who is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It is the heartbeat of the church, this message of reconciliation. Now then, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. We go back to Matthew 5. Jesus was giving us the Beatitudes. We all know those. In verse 9, what's the one Beatitude? That's what we want to just close with today. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. What kind of people are these? Are peacemakers. These are people who make peace. They don't just walk around in peace. They make peace wherever they go. I believe God wants to fill this church with peacemakers. This church should be. Why? Because we want the blessing of it, and we are the children of God. If you're the children of God, he says, you are going to be peacemakers. Why? Because of reconciliation. Because you love God vertically, God's going to cause you to be able to love one another horizontally. You cannot separate the two because you are the children of God. Now, I'm going to give you real quickly, and I can do this, trust me. I'm going to give you five real quick marks of a peacemaker. See if it's not true. I went over these with my wife the other day, and she helped me tweak them just a little bit because we were trying to filter it through our own lives. Here's number one. If you're a peacemaker, I found most peacemakers I know, they make reconciliation a top priority. It's not at the bottom of the list. It's at the top of the list. A peacemaker. He will always have reconciliation foremost in his life. It will be priority. Remember Matthew 5, 23 and 24. What did he say? When you get up from that, when you see that gift there, get up. Some translations say immediately get up, quickly get up. Go and take care of it. Don't waste any time. Don't say, well, you know, hey, let me finish worshiping and then I'll go take care of it. No, Jesus said no. No. This is that important. No. Don't do that. You get up right now and you go take care of that. It's a top priority. Because that's how peacemakers, that's how they live their lives. Be quick to act. Because it's a top priority, they are usually always the ones who make the first move. You know people like that in this church? I want to be that way. I want to make the first move. What keeps us from doing that? Yeah. Pride, fear. I mean, you're afraid. I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to get back into this old stuff. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it alone. Listen, perfect love casts out all fear. Our problem is love. We just need to love God and love one another. Faith, the scripture says faith works by love. It's all about love. Everything hangs on this. That's what he's saying. Everything, all the law, all the prophets, everything hangs on this. My problem is a love problem. My problem is a love problem. And I need to say, God, fill my heart with love so I can act appropriately and I can make this first move. The only way to resolve a conflict in your life is to face it. Conflict, listen, conflict never resolves itself. It just doesn't do it. We need to take the initiative. The longer we wait, the worse it's going to get. How many have found that true? And what was a little scratch now becomes infected, and pretty soon you got to amputate somebody's arm. I've seen that in the church. You know, you see this big conflict and you see this horrible effect and you go, what happened? How did this happen? And you start tracing it back and you go, really? Is that really how it started? Way back here? What happened? We never dealt with it. And because we never dealt with it, bad things happen. Don't avoid people. Don't avoid people. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Three things there. Do you see it? If it's possible. Is it possible always? No. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, there's your part, God's part, other people's part, your part, as whatever your part, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Here's number three. I find peacemakers are willing to see their own sin. This is a big one. You say, yeah, you don't understand, Pastor. That person who offended me, I'm totally innocent in this thing. And I understand. I've been there. But I found very few conflicts where maybe I don't share a little bit in it. Maybe it's my attitude. Maybe it's my inability to respond properly. We usually share in it, don't we? I've often wondered, why are we so slow to show grace to people when we've been recipients of God's grace hundreds of times? How strange. And not just hundreds of times, but for the same sin. How many times have I went back to God for the same sin? Lord, forgive me. Sure, Joe, I'll forgive you. I want to repent of this sin. Would you help me, Lord? Yes, I'll help you. When I'm unfaithful, God is faithful. So why is it so hard for me to show that grace to others? I believe that conflict is a time where we can grow spiritually. I believe conflict will help you. It will sanctify you. If you can respond properly, look at yourself correctly. Say, oh God, see, our problem is we judge ourselves by other people. Is that true? Come on, is that true? We judge ourselves by the righteousness of others. Hey, I'm not as bad as that guy over there. In fact, I'm way better than that guy over there. Our marriage is 100% better than that marriage over there. You know, your problem is you're making the wrong comparison. You need to compare yourself with the holiness of God. When you do that, that changes things. Whoa, who am I? Who am I when I stand next to the holiness of God? I heard a pastor on the radio say this week, and I thought about it. Oh, I don't know about that. He said, what would happen if it was possible to take your thoughts that you're thinking and the intentions of your heart and let's project them on this screen here? How many of you would stick around in the service for that? If I told you in advance we were going to do it, would you show up? Listen, let's be honest. I think thoughts sometimes that I'm embarrassed of. And I even think, how could I ever think such a thing about this person? I'm broken just like everybody else. And that's why I need God's love and grace and forgiveness. And that reconciliation He's brought to me is so powerful. So how can I not share that with others? How can I not let that affect me horizontally since I've been able to partake of it in a vertical relationship with God? It's all about relationship, isn't it? We need to pray the prayer, Lord, show me my ego. Show me my pride. Show me my self-centeredness in this thing. Oh, gosh. I remember when we left the Salvation Army, we're going to hurry here. We had a conflict over doctrine. And I was right, bless God. I was right. And we parted ways. And it wasn't pleasant. Later on, over a long period of time, God allowed us to come back together again in a beautiful way. And I was in a public service. I was asked to speak at the 75-year reunion of the Salvation Army in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I spoke before this group, and it was wonderful. And I confessed to them. I said, you're probably wondering, whatever happened to Joe Voss? I said, well, you know, I'm not going to get into all the issues, but I can tell you what was true is Joe Voss was an arrogant, prideful, egotistic old man. And the grace of God was far from me. because I was right about something, but I was wrong. Can you be right and wrong all at the same time? Yeah. Jesus even said to his disciples one day, "You know not what spirit you are." After I got done speaking, a Salvation Army officer got up, Major Wood, and I told the congregation, I said, "You know, if it was to do over again, I would do it different today." How many of you would say that about things in your life? I'd do it different. But you know, God is a wonderful thing, because if it hadn't been for all that, I wouldn't know any of you. But this major got up and he says, "Joe, we would do it differently today also, because we were full of pride and arrogance." It's all about relationships. Don't you understand? It's not always the doctrine. It's the heart of people. And if we could just get plugged into that, we could have been peacemakers. Instead, we lost the opportunity. I heard Rick Warren say the other day, and I'm going to try this at home. How many of you, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about? No. Benjamin, he has a perfect marriage, but the rest of us, we have to deal with it. Sometimes we fuss. And he suggested that next time you're in an argument, end it with these words: "I'm sorry, honey. I was only thinking of myself." Boy, that would bring peace into the argument, wouldn't it? "I'm sorry. I was only thinking of myself." Isn't that what happens? We're just so selfish, so self-centered. It's all about us. Peacemakers, they see their own sin and they're willing to humble themselves and allow God's grace to come. Number four, quickly, I found peacemakers are good listeners. People I know who bring peace into situations. I think of this man right over here, Mike. I've watched him. You have a spirit of peace about you, brother. And I notice what a good listener you are. You listen to people. James 1, 19 through 20. "Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Those of you who have taken the L-O-V-E pledge, remember L. What does L mean? Listen. How do we listen? We don't listen to agree. We listen to understand. We listen to understand. See, that's the heart of a peacemaker. I want to understand your position. I may not agree with you, but I want to understand. But so oftentimes, we're so caught up in ourselves. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm not hearing anything you're saying, and I can't wait for you to stop so I can tell you the truth, right? We do it all the time, and we wonder why there's so much conflict. Listen to understand. And lastly, a peacemaker trusts God for results. Last week, we ended with Joseph in Genesis 50, remember, his brothers are standing before him. You talk about having a reason to be offended. I mean, when's the last time your family threw you in a pit? Say, "Well, I think it was last week, actually." No, I mean, how many times? Well, your brothers wanted to kill you. I mean, I pushed my brother out in front of a car once, but it was, boy, did I get a whooping for that. But I'm telling you, you have sibling conflict. Of course we do, right? You should live in the inner city. It takes on a whole new meaning. My brother stabbed me with a knife once. I mean, glory to God, we were a loving family. But we had conflict, But I remember, here's Joseph, man, he was thrown in a pit. He was sold as a slave. And at the end of it all, he's standing before the brothers. And listen, he has power to get even. You want to talk about a true peacemaker? It's the peacemakers who have the power to hurt people, and instead they bring peace. What's he say? He says, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" What's the answer? No. See, that's a problem sometimes, isn't it? In being peacemakers, we think we're God. Some of you think you're God. Yeah, I love to hear people sometimes talking about how they're telling God what to do. You know, they're just ordering God around. Well, that means you're God. God is God. I make a terrible God. How about you? You make a terrible God. I've watched you try. It's awful. We just do a terrible job of it. We're not good. We're awful. God, I need you to be God because I'm a terrible God. Listen, Joseph was saying, "I am not God in this thing. I trust God. God is God." And he says, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is today to save many people's lives. God uses conflict sometimes to bring about some incredible things. You say, okay, and let me close with this. Pastor, what happens if you try to reconcile with someone and they refuse? It'll happen. I believe a peacemaker is going to bless them. Remember, you bless your enemies. He's going to bless them. He's going to pray for them. And he's going to believe that God will open a door someday. My wife and I were sharing as we were looking at this message of a relationship we had with some ministry folks we were involved in. And there was an offense. And we stopped speaking to each other. Not my wife and I, the other couple. Although we have done that at times. And I said to Connie, we need to take them out for dinner and reconcile. So we did. And I spent good money on this meal. We didn't go to McDonald's. And it came a point in the meal where I asked, would you please forgive us? Now, I got to tell you, in my heart, I believed I was 90% right. But that doesn't matter to a peacemaker. And I said, would you please forgive me for the part I played in this? And I was waiting for a wonderful, warm response. And they got up from the table and said no. And they walked out of the restaurant and left us sitting there. And I said, Connie, what just happened? She goes, I don't know. Of course, she's trying to encourage me. You did the right thing as much as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. Yeah. But look at this bill. No. What a waste. No, don't do that. No. It wasn't a waste. I'm such a bad person. Do not let the mistakes of the past rob your future. 9 years later, I was at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and in through the doors walks this couple. I'll tell you, I wanted to go to the bathroom. I was going to hide. Have you ever hidden? Yeah, we all hide. I didn't want to deal with it. But it was too late. Eye contact was made. And I'll never forget what happened next. This couple ran over to us and hugged us and said, oh, we've so wanted to talk to you. We just want you to know how much we love you and appreciate you. And we're so sorry for the events that took place here. What a waste it was in our lives. And we cried together. Sometimes you will have to wait for it, but be a peacemaker anyway. Sow the seeds. Let God do it. Reconciliation does not always mean you will be restored in a relationship. How many of you are divorced? You have an ex in your life. Maybe It's pretty a negative experience for you. I don't know. I come from a divorced family. I know what that's about. I believe God wants you to have a heart of reconciliation for that experience. Not that you'll get remarried again, although I've done a lot of weddings. It's fun to do a wedding and tear up the divorce papers. I just love it. Great. But that's not always how it happens. Sometimes it can't happen that way. People are already remarried. But what is important is that your heart gets right towards that person and that you be a peacemaker and you live at peace, even though that relationship may never, never be restored. Your heart will be a heart of reconciliation. Amen? Well, this morning, we're going to come to this table, which is a table of reconciliation. But before we do, I've asked Steve to come. And if he would, Steve spoke to me the other day. And God's put something on his heart concerning this issue. And I'd like him to share with you before we partake of communion today. Brother Steve.
A number of years ago, the Lord gave me a vision, and I've shared it with a few people here already, but the Lord gave me a scene, and the scene was from World War II, and what I saw was a hospital bay in which there were a lot of casualties. I couldn't count the number of casualties, and as I looked at that hospital bay, the Lord appeared, Jesus appeared. And he began to touch people that were in the beds that had been wounded. And I asked the Lord what he was showing me. And he said to me, Steve, these are people that have been wounded by friendly fire. And that's a casualty of war, oftentimes. And he said, Steve, these are people in the church that have been wounded by people in the church. And I've been on both sides of that. I've been in a position to be an elder, to be a pastor, and I know I've hurt people. And I've been a saint, just a sheep, and I've been hurt. And I believe it's the heart of the Lord, as Joe shared this morning, to heal people. And I asked the Lord before I came up, I says, Lord, if I share this, are you going to be here to heal people? And he assured me that he is. It's the heart of Jesus to touch you and to heal you. If you've been wounded, if you've been hurt, whether it's by a leader or maybe just a brother or a sister, maybe it's somebody in your family, whoever it is, it's the intention and the will of Jesus just to touch your heart and heal you.
You received that? I remember when Steve shared that in early morning prayer weeks ago. I didn't get it out of my mind for a long time. That was when I asked God to show me. Lord, who have I hurt? Who have I wounded? Listen, it's top priority today for God. Before we do anything else, this has to happen. That's what he said, wasn't it? First do this. So this is what we're going to do first. And I don't know how God wants you to respond today. We're going to come to the table. I believe this is the table of reconciliation. In fact, we've been warned about this table, haven't we? You can go ahead and play if you want. We've been warned not to eat or drink in an unworthy fashion, but to discern properly the body of Christ. I think that's horizontal and vertical. This is an opportunity for us today, isn't it? To take the bread, take the cup, and say, okay, Lord, maybe I'm the one who's wounded. In fact, I'm shot up pretty good, Lord. I can. And some of these wounds are old and they're infected. You know the story. I remember when my dad in Valley Center came after years of being estranged from our family, and we sat in the parsonage in the basement, and my dad crawled over to me and put his head in my lap. He said, son, can you ever forgive me? Yeah, Dad, I can forgive you. And you know why I can forgive you? Because there's some things I can't forget. It's not about a change of memory. It's about a change of heart. I will never forget the blood and the screaming and the abuse to my mother. I can never forget that. But I can tell you, in that moment, when my dad asked for forgiveness, it was easy. It was easy. You know why? Because I have been forgiven an impossible debt. And that's what worship was about today, isn't it? So if I've been forgiven an impossible debt, why is it so hard for me to extend grace to others? I believe God wants you to do that today. Now, you might not be able to restore every relationship. I'm talking about your heart, to have a heart of peace, to be a peacemaker. Why are we going to be a peacemaker? One, you're going to be blessed if you do. Two, it's what makes you a child of God. The peacemakers are the sons of God. How many sons of God do we have here? How many children of God do we have here today? Lift your hands. You have been called to be peacemakers. And that's going to unfold itself over this next week, maybe months. But I want you just to expect it and to be ready. Do you realize how life-changing this can be? This can change your life. It can change your ministry. Jesus said everything hangs on it. And it's first priority today. So that's what we're going to do. I want to pray with you. I'm going to invite you to come and receive the cup and the bread. Do what God's telling you to do this morning. When we're through, we're going to dismiss you, but we're going to stick around here. And there's some of you, do not leave. God wants you to come and be prayed for today. Because maybe you have a divine appointment this week. You need to get up and go. And you're saying, man, my heart is shaking. I don't know if I can do that, Joe. I don't know. We'll pray with you. We're going to encourage you. And we're going to pray an anointing of God's love on you that will give you the ability to do what you need to do. Amen. Maybe you're here today. You need healing in your body. You need to be set free from some old wound and offenses. And let me tell you something. Steve and I, come here, Steve. Steve and I, as pastors, we represent all the pastors who've ever hurt people. If you've been hurt by church leadership, on behalf of them, we say we're sorry. We're sorry. We didn't mean to do it. It wasn't our intent. Wasn't our intent. Receive that from the Lord. Be free. You've been reconciled to reconcile. That's what God's called us today to do. Amen. Can I pray with you, Father? I thank you. Because you have called us unto yourself. We no longer live to ourselves, but we live unto you and through you. Father, I pray that we can understand the importance of this message today. And that we're not just going to be hearers of the word, but we're going to be doers of the word. And you're going to show us what to do and how to do it. And by faith, we're going to do it. I believe you're going to heal people today. You're going to heal people today. You're healing them right now. As they're sitting there, they're being healed. You're touching their hearts. Some old wounds. You're healing them, Lord. And they're going to be able to get up from this place and go and be peacemakers. And be blessed as the children of God. Lord, help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to come to the table. Just come down the center aisle. Dip the bread in the cup. Partake of it. And then find your seat by going up the side aisles again. Amen. Praise God.
Bind my wandering heart to thee. prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Stand
with me, please. We're going to be here to pray. We're not going anywhere. Brother and Sister Powell, we're going out for lunch, but we can delay that a little bit. Those restaurants, they don't close that early. We can go later. We don't have to be at the movie till 5:30, so we got time. I'd hate it. Oh, it would sadden me if you walked from this place needing prayer and you didn't take opportunity. The body of Christ is God's gift to you. We want to love Him and we want to love each other. And nothing's going to stop us from doing that. Amen. Top priority. Number one, first priority. That's going to be our heart for this church. So I want you to go with this blessing. Go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go, and thank you for coming. We'll be here. Others will be here to pray too. Please come. And take advantage of it. Amen. God bless you. We love you.